Welcome back to episode two of season two of the Run It Freeways podcast. Thanks to everyone who listened last week and welcome us back. And here we are again, boys. How are we?
We're back, boys. We're back and better than ever. I forgot to bring my microphone, so I'm recording on the laptop. So if the audio sounds bad, you know why. But yeah, I'm in good spirits. Tom, Ben, how are you?
Oh, yeah, thriving. Absolutely thriving.
How's life in the big city, Tom? Well, a bigger
the
city.
Big city. Do you know what? It's bloody lovely. Yeah, so moved house. Well, I was away for work from like Monday to Thursday last week, and then I left from the old house and came back to the new one. And it's a big shout out to Sammy Nix and my mum and dad, Elaine and James, because they did the majority of the heavy lifting with actually moving house whilst I was
so
in Devon.
You moved house,
yeah,
and went away.
Yeah,
that sounds like an ideal setup to move into a new place.
It's a good way to do it. Yeah, but
get
it did
everyone
mean
else to do the dirty work for you.
Yeah, I got home on Thursday, fairly late on Thursday evening, and the house was just, you know what it's like. There's just boxes and like bin bags and just stuff everywhere, so that was a little bit overwhelming, but settled in nicely now, and enjoying it. Life is good.
Quality,
Nice. You
mate.
managed to find your headphones for the
Yeah,
podcast.
I did actually. Yeah,
nice, sounding good. How about you, Callum? How's boot life?
Yeah, not too bad, not too bad. Got my cast off for what, a couple 2 weeks ago, Easter weekend. So what was that? That was 2 weekends ago, wasn't it? I think.
Yeah, Easter was
31st.
2 weeks. Yeah.
30th of March, something like that. I got it off. So yeah, 2 weeks with the boot. Oh, sorry, no, I've had a week complete with the boot. And I have to have it on for a total minimum of 8. So I'll have it on for 8 weeks and then hopefully transition back into a shoe and stuff like that. So that's positive. Can do a little bit more cross training now that the wounds are pretty much healed from surgery and from the initial spike itself, because I've been a bit limited with the volume and the intensity I can do, just because if they open up and get infected, then it's like, to quote my Greek surgeon, tragedy.
here's a question for you. How bad did that cast smell?
Not as bad as you'd... Well, actually, I don't know.
Really? Wait.
Well, let me just think. So, like... my toes, obviously my toes weren't in the cast. Do you know what I mean? So like,
yeah.
I could use a flannel to like wash in between my toes and stuff like that. So I do that every day. So like my toes were absolutely fine, give or take. And when I actually got the cast taken off, he took it off and my head was obviously at the other end of the table. And then I've gone straight into a boot pretty much.
Okay.
So not as bad as you think, but because it's only my Achilles, I can still use a flannel to like wash my leg and stuff like that. I just can't get the wound wet. So, not as bad as you'd imagine, honestly. But the boot absolutely reeks. Like, the boot's bad. After I've been on the bike, I take it off and I just have to leave it near the window to let it air out. It's pretty bad. But yeah.
How is it in terms of pain? Like, can you feel... I don't really know how it works with... obviously, after surgery, you've had an open wound, so you can obviously feel that. But, like, in terms of, like, movement of the ankle, are you in a lot of pain or...
So I can't move. I have to stay in flexion. So like pointing your toes forward. So like dorsiflexions is if you're going to point your toes to the sky and like flex your foot. I can't do that because that could potentially like re-tear my Achilles while it's... So that's why I have to have the boot on for so long and sleeping a night.
Stop the range of movement.
Sleeping a night splint and stuff. Yeah, because in the boot, they put some wedges under your heel. So I think it's like... don't know how many centimeters it is, maybe 5 or 6 centimeters. So if you imagine like if a woman wears high heel shoes, that's what position I'm in inside the boot, if that makes sense. So because that shortens your Achilles, and therefore if you literally imagine it as two ends of the tendon like being next to each other, there's less chance of ripping it while it all gets it healed and gets stronger. And then I start physio this week. As I start going to physio, I'll obviously be taking out the boot, doing some gradual proprioception, different range of movements, and eventually you'll transition back into a shoe where your foot's completely flat and your Achilles is slightly longer. And then obviously from there, if you imagine a running movement where you push off from your toes, like if you're doing a calf raise, for example, that's like the longest your Achilles is going to get and the most tension you're going to put on it. So that's like the final like boss level, if you will, of getting of getting recovered. But in terms of pain, I wouldn't call it pain right now, but the sensations are so weird. Like the only way I can describe it is, one, I get a real wet sensation where it feels like my Achilles is bleeding. So only way I can, but like it bleeding inside me, it's so weird. It like feels like water is dripping down my my heel. It's very, very odd. And then the other one is I get like almost like pins, a mixture of pins and needles, or like getting a mild electric shock. I'm getting that all down the outside of my left foot. And that's something to do with, or what I've read, is it's something to do with the swelling that is still in there, like pressing against your nerves, and or like the lack of muscle mass in my calf, because my calf's like almost completely disappeared. If I like was to press on the back of my calf or something like that, there's not much muscle between like where I'm pressing and the nerves. So like, it's just way more susceptible to like, kind of, like not nerve pain, but kind of like weird feelings basically. So, yeah, it's uncomfortable. It's a bit annoying, but it's so much better than it was when I first had the surgery. I was like actually in pain. So it's all good now, to be fair.
Yeah. I was going to ask about the atrophy actually, because it's been a while now in that boot, at least a month, isn't it, since the actual injury itself?
First of March, 5 weeks.
Yeah. So, yeah, is it quite, I don't know, disconcerting to look down at your leg and be like, oh, bloody hell, that's smaller than I remember.
I kind of knew it was going to happen from my calf, to be fair.
Yeah.
Like, I can do way more stuff for my quads now, so I think my quad will be fine and my hamstrings should be fine.
You're going to be like Chris Hoy by the end of this recovery process.
Well, only on my right leg, though, because... If you think about when you like put cleats on, or if you like go on a bike, like where you've got your feet in the pedals, I can push down and pull up with my right foot. So I'm using like my hip, my hamstring, my glutes, my quad on my right leg, as you should be if you're cycling. But on my left leg, where, because I've got a boot on it, I can only put, I can push down through the boot, but I can't pull the left foot back up. So my right leg is essentially doing like way more of the work when I'm cycling than it being balanced out. So that's where I have to just be careful with the volume and stuff. Like I could hammer it and do, you know, 25 hours a week, but all I'm going to do is smash my right leg into oblivion and then also have a left leg that doesn't really work. So I'll just be worse off. So yeah, I just have to be careful and stuff like that. But I think eventually my calf should be somewhat recovered. And once I start going to physio, I should have some more kind of like acute exercises, and like they'll know all the workarounds of how you can do certain leg extensions or hamstring curls or glute bridges or whatever. So they'll deal with people all the time that have got a bad Achilles. So I'm sure they'll know what to do. But for now, I'm kind of doing what I know is safe without possibly doing something wrong. Because for the sake of just building up a bit of muscle, if it repairs or whatever, there's big physical and financial implications to that. So I've just got to be careful.
Yeah, fair dues.
But yeah, enough about the injury, boys. What you been up to in terms of training? Because I've not been on Strava that much. I've been uploading my own stuff. But normally when I have a gander and see what runs people are doing or whatever. But I've got no idea what you guys have been up to other than Ben's race. So let me know.
All right. I think, we said we'll just go through like the main bits, didn't we, of the week, rather than painstakingly going through all the details of our easy runs. So
yeah, the highlights, try and cut the boring bits and make it a bit more of a summary was what we're trying anyway. See if it works.
Oh, do you know what, this was actually quite a funny week of running for me. So I ran in total 78 kilometers, which, you know, it's all right. You can get fairly fit off 75-80k a week, I think. But I ran in many different places, and one of these runs was with exciting news, actually. Do you remember ages ago, I did a public service announcement on the podcast that we were hiring at ProDirect for someone to take up the social role?
Yeah,
yeah, I do.
Do you remember that? Are we due some commission? Is that what you're
about? Well, Callum Young has joined ProDirect, and he is a listener of the podcast. He dropped me a message. I didn't see it for about 6 months, and then he replied like fire emojis or something to a story, and then I saw his message up above it asking that the job was still available. The job was still available, and he's absolutely perfect for the role. So we got Callum.
Can you give me a brief physical description of him?
Can I give you a brief physical description?
Like, has he got blonde hair?
Sort of. Wait,
do you follow him?
Yeah, he used to be a CrossFit guy, so he's got a physique on him. He's got some muscular shoulders like Callum.
Callum the traditional way.
Yeah.
Callum Young, if you're listening, I'm trying to find you, fella, now. So
he's a hard man to track down on socials, actually.
So he basically got hired off fire emojis, is what you're trying to tell us.
He got hired because he performed very well at two different tasks and stuff, and he's a very keen runner. He knows the ins and outs of it. Well, he listens to this podcast, so he's got to be fairly in the trenches to even know that this podcast exists. But yeah, he's a decent track guy. He's only been running for like 8 months, and he ran 205 for 800 Monday,
Nice.
bank holiday Monday. So yeah, anyway, really nice to
Congratulations,
have.
congratulations, Callum.
Yeah,
I'm
congratulations,
sure
Callum.
you probably won't cross paths with me because Pro Direct don't reach out to me, but no doubt you'll meet Ben soon, and that'll be a nice, that'll be a nice experience for you. And, you know, I'm sure they'll let you know who I am and stuff like that. But yeah, all the best in your role.
I mean, the reason for the introduction is because I did a run with him after work. It was his first day of work. We went for a progression, just 10K progression after work, and it was so wet. It was the soggiest run I've ever done in my life. We're down a little cycle path, but then at one point it was just completely flooded. The path just turned into a body of water. But by that point, we'd already gone through half of it, thinking, "Oh, surely it's going to end soon," and it just didn't end. So it was soaking wet. And that was his first day on the job. So apologies, Callum, for that, but it was at least fairly enjoyable. The next day I did 20 by 400 on an industrial estate, and I had to wear the same shoes that I wore for the run the night before because I left the shoes I was going to wear for the session in Callum's car. So that was unfortunate. But we got it done.
I've just found you on social media. He's got a different name. I see him.
Yeah, there you
Zero
go.
posts as well. Wow.
Yeah, a man of mystery.
I know. Anyway, continue, Tom. Sorry about that.
But no, I guess the main highlight of the week, obviously moving house, but then also like exploring and having a little look around at some loops. That was, I'm sure plenty of runners can relate to this who are moving and stuff, but that was one of my biggest anxieties surrounding moving to a completely new area, was not knowing where I was going to run, like not having the security of a session loop that you use every Tuesday and Thursday, or like if you've got an hour to do, you know a loop you can do. If you've got a long run to do, you know where you can get like 90 minutes of decent running in. Do you know what I mean? So that
Yeah, I can
was,
relate.
yeah, I was pretty anxious about that, but I found a really good loop. It's a exactly 1K, nice and flat, goes around a new build housing estate thing, and then pops out onto a cycle path. And so the biggest session I had of the week was 3 by 2 mile off 2 minutes jog. And as is the case with a lot of Andy's stuff, it was progressive. So the first 2 miles was, I'm going to mix K's and miles here, but the first 2 mile block was at 340s, second one was at 330s, and the last one was 318 average. And I was quite happy with that, to be honest, because it felt pretty good, like especially the last block at sub 320 pace. It was, yeah, it started to feel a bit more comfortable. That sort of click now. So I was chuffed with that.
And you're racing this week, are you, Tom?
I am, yeah. So Bristol Track Club 5K on Saturday afternoon, which is now also a Pro Direct sponsored slash affiliated event. So there'll be a few nice little bits and bobs there, a few opportunities for people to win some prizes and yeah, other good bits and pieces. So it should be
Are you
a
having to work it
cracking
as well,
afternoon.
or are you just there for the race?
Oh, so Callum's boy Charlie, good old Charlie, 1609 Studios, he'll be there in like a Pro Direct working capacity, shooting some content and stuff. I'll be there, but I was entered into this race before it became like a before I knew we were going to be doing anything with it in a work capacity. So I've sort of tried to stay true to that just so I can have a honest race without having to really think about much else.
Nice.
When
Yeah,
was
I only
yeah
say that because
when is this?
I've
Sorry, Saturday.
Saturday, yeah, this Saturday coming at the time of recording.
When's Podium 5K Dulwich? Is that the week after? Is that also this weekend?
That's on the 20th,
Oh, that's the same as London Marathon, isn't
Saturday before London Marathon, yeah.
it? Got you, with you, with you, with you. Anyway, go on, continue.
No, I was just going to say probably the most exciting thing about this session was the Met Speed Sky Paris, which I picked up and took out for their maiden voyage. And we talk about shoes, or we used to talk about shoes a lot on this podcast back in the golden era where we were doing it weekly. But there are so many good shoes out there right now, so many good carbon plated shoes that really you could go with any brand and be completely happy. But I've got to say, like these Metaspeed Sky Paris from Asics, they're a special shoe. Like every now and again, something comes along where you put it on and immediately just think, oh, okay, this is different. And I don't think I've had that sort of immediate impression from a shoe that it's special since OG Vaporfly Next Percent or like Alphafly 1 back in the day. So it's, I know you've got them, Ben, haven't you? You've done a fair bit of running in them at this point.
Yeah, I can back what you just said. Like it's one of those shoes that I've tried and it's stood out. Like obviously me and Tom are quite fortunate where we get to try pretty much every carbon racing shoe that comes out. And like, yeah, I think the main benefit of this shoe is just how lightweight it is. Like I think it weighs about 180 grams in my size, and compare that to an Alphafly, it's like almost 40 grams lighter, which doesn't sound like a lot, but over the course of a longer distance race, you can notice that lightness underfoot. So yeah, and I think the way they've changed the shoe as well, it feels a lot more cushioned than the previous version. Like the carbon plate in the previous version was very aggressive and not very protective underfoot, whereas now it's a bit more relaxed and feels softer, much more like a sort of Zoom X foam underfoot. And yeah, I think I'm going to race Copenhagen in it. So, yeah, it's a decent shoe.
I'll definitely be in them on Saturday. There's just something about them, like it's the perfect formula. Like most carbon plated racing shoes are lightweight, right, comparative to daily trainers or what racing shoes, you know, like older racing shoes and stuff. But these, they actually feel noticeably lighter than anything else that I've got, which is strange, really, how they've managed to do that. Because like you say, you're only talking like tens of grams here and there. But yeah, I think Metaspeed Sky Paris, Alphafly 3 and the Cielo X1 are probably my three favourite carbon shoes at the moment that have come out in recent times, just for a combination of fun. And yeah, just the best being probably Alphafly 3 and Metaspeed Sky Paris. So yeah, if you're thinking of a new race day shoe and you were thinking of getting the Metaspeed, they are the dog's bollocks. So,
and they're a bit cheaper than the other shoes as well, which is always nice. Yeah. 220 rather than the usual like 250, 260, even 280 with Alphafly. So
yeah, I mean 285
relatively save a little bit.
Yeah, it's big bucks. So anyway, that was a really nice session, to be honest. I did that with Chris around this new loop. We both had Metaspeeds on, actually, because he's doing Copenhagen Marathon and he's probably going to be wearing Metaspeeds for that as well. So we both gave him a little test. And then, yeah, that was it, really. I did 90 minutes on the treadmill on Sunday because I was told there was going to be a storm with 40 mile per hour winds and 70 mile per hour gusts, and that never materialized. And it was actually quite a nice morning. So I spent that run without any headphones because they died immediately, looking out the window at trees not moving, thinking how regrettable my decision was. But there we go.
And you were on the treadmill. I've just looked at you striving out. You're on the treadmill last night as well, I noticed.
Yeah, I was.
This time you did have your headphones, I'm guessing, because you've watched the Great North Run 2017.
Yeah, great race that is, by the way.
Did you spot anybody that you recognised on the start line?
Of Great North Run? Do you mean like general folk? Or
no, I'm
elite?
Talking about me, your donut.
Oh, were you on there?
Mate, you'll have to go back and watch it. Just look right directly behind Mo Farah when you go.
Really?
And Ritzenheim next time you watch it. There's little 17 or 18-year-old me. Unreal.
What?
You'll have to go.
What are you doing in that race for?
In his calf sleeves.
Long story short, I was getting into running a little bit. It was when I was in my last year of sixth form. And I joined Round A Runners, my local club, literally just up from my house in Leeds. And a bloke who, well, a guy who also ran at the club, but I also knew him from the cricket club. This is turned into a long story. A guy called Nick Bull. Shout out to Nick. His daughter worked or works, I don't know if she still does, for, is it the Great Run Company or what are they called? Something like, whoever organises Great North Run and Great South Run and all them lot. That's who she worked for. And because I was like a bit young and in the club and whatever, he said, oh, I might be able to pull you a string to get you an elite entry. And anyway, guy got me an elite entry. I'd only run like a 73 minute half marathon or something like that. So I made full, obviously, full access of that, and just went behind Farah and Ritzenheim on the start line.
Love that.
Quality.
Yeah. Anyway,
what a story.
Good stuff. Sounds like your running's on the up then, Tom. What was that? 48 miles, 70-something K.
Yeah. 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 So I feel quite good at the moment, to be honest. I'm obviously I'm looking to do more and increase the volume and everything else. But the sessions wise, I can't really complain. Like I feel quite fit based off that sort of volume, and things are going good. So just see how we go on Saturday, really, at this point.
Class. I'm looking forward to it, mate. I'm looking forward to hearing a Tom Folan race recap, because those are few and far between on this podcast. So
yeah. Hopefully there'll be plenty more of them. Yeah, hopefully there'll be many more of them going forwards from here. Because I think from talking to Chris again, he was like, I think he's having a bit of a torrid time with niggles and like just the slog of marathon training. And it made me feel really good.
Ooh.
Has he just disappeared?
Just lost him there, yeah.
He just said it made him feel really good that his mate was going through niggles. So that's a bit
brutal. Yeah.
Bit real. I'm guessing he's about to say he doesn't really want a marathon train at the moment. He wants to do other stuff, but we'll never know. Weirdly, it's saying he's still connected, so I don't really know what's happened. But he did say before the call his laptop was giving him some trouble, so not too sure about that. But should we just crack on and he can exit and join? Do you want to start going through some of your training? Maybe not quite your race yet, and hopefully he'll rejoin by your race.
Yeah, no problem. So talking of marathon training, like Tom was just before he left, I've been cracking on with my training. I've got 4 weeks to go to Copenhagen, which is going to be my sort of first goal race of the year. And yeah, at the end of this week, I had a race. But in the build-up, I did 120 kilometers this week, which is a little bit more of a down week for me. Only the one workout on Wednesday. And then I did a little progression run on the Friday. Just with the race on Sunday in mind. So a little bit of, I think I did 10 by a mile on Wednesday at around half marathon pace off short recoveries, which was nice. Did that on a loop that I haven't used in a little while. So that was nice to go back there. It's a 400 meter loop, so not quite as ideal as Tom's 1K loop. But with the windy conditions, it's actually quite sheltered. So I don't mind doing a few laps around there, and it's dead quiet, so it's basically like a track but concrete. So yeah,
pretty decent.
That's only like 3 kilometers away from the house,
so this is your race,
gets the job done,
right?
Yeah, that's race week.
Nice.
10 by a mile on the Wednesday. I did a progression run on the Friday, 5k at steady pace, 5k at somewhere between steady and marathon pace, and then a 5k at marathon pace to finish. So 15k progression, a little bit of intensity, but without like putting too much more fatigue into the legs ahead of the race.
He's back. I just seen Tom's rejoined. Tom, you're good.
Yeah. Sorry about that. Internet just disappeared for some reason.
I think we will just skim over you, but you basically accidentally cut off just as you'd said you're really glad that your mate is
got loads of niggles.
You've not quite got round to the nice bit of the story yet, but anyway, for the sake of listeners, we're on to Ben's training right now, and he's about to tell us about his race, I think.
Oh, go on, Ben.
Yeah, so I went to the lovely city of Berat in Albania. It's a bit of a strange one as to why I ended up in Albania. But yeah, long story short, I've got a friend that I met in March last year who lives in Macedonia, but he's Albanian, or the Balkans area. And he messaged me being like, oh, I've got this race. The organisers messaged me, said, would I like to come along? It's basically a new race that's only just started. I think it was the second year that they've been going. And they were just trying to get some half-decent runners to come along and support the event. And I had a little look at my training going into Copenhagen. I always like to do a few half marathons in my marathon blocks just to, one, keep things interesting and do some decent long runs with other people. So this one was literally like 4 weeks out from Copenhagen. I looked at flights. They were pretty cheap to get over there. The organisers offered to pick me and Kush up from the airport and take us to the hotel where the race was basically based. They paid for our hotel, and we had a decent little So he's run out over, I think Kush did the 10K. Unfortunately, he's still struggling with this piriformis injury that he's had basically since March last year. So to be honest, it sucks to see one of your mates who's just as passionate about running as you are going through like a long-term injury. He's struggling to shake it off. So he did the 10K just as for a bit of fun. I think he ran about 40 minutes, helped pace one of the ladies that he knew. And I did the half marathon. And yeah, the race was really really nice. The area of Albania was called Berat, which is like a UNESCO World Heritage Site. I'd never really heard of it. And to be honest, I don't think many people would have done. But yeah, lovely little city, like plenty of culture, history there. It's basically built in a valley and you've got this like mountain either side. We climbed up to the castle the day before the race, which was about a mile, literally at about 15% gradient. So after about halfway up this hill, we were both like looking at each other, like, what have we done? Like this the day before a race, we shouldn't really be like getting knackering ourselves out by walking up a hill. But at the same time, it was like one of the main tourist attractions in the area, only there for the weekend. So we thought we'd got to really go up and have a little look at the views. And to be fair, once we got to the top, it was definitely worth it. You've got the mountains, looking down on the city with the blue, beautifully blue river going through it. So yeah, nice little weekend away.
Are you racing again, Ben, before the marathon? So you've got 4 weeks from now. So what, this was 5 weeks out, was it, before the marathon?
This was 4 weeks out. So this will be the last race, really. I might be doing the Dulwich 5K, as you mentioned, but that again will just be a little tune-up thing. ASICS are sponsoring it, so they've messaged me about potentially doing it, and I might get a little cheeky run out again in the Paris that Tom was talking about. So I thought, oh, I might as well do that as like a last hard session. I think that'll be like 2 weeks before the marathon, so I won't be going crazy, but it'll be a good little last hit out. But what, the race itself,
what was it, just before you do the race, just I think it would be good for listeners to benefit. Obviously you've got it kind of part funded, part not, but like you're still like gone out there and done it sort of thing. It's kind of obviously going to be good for your content, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah,
from like a preparation for your marathon perspective, would you have always planned to do a half marathon 4 or 5 weeks out? Was that your plan anyway and this one just came up? Or like in terms of like how you were structuring your training, where does this race sit? Because obviously when you're going to talk about the result now, obviously we know what happened, and like, you know, there's an argument to say that you could have been in a race where you finished lower down, but you ran a lot quicker, or it wasn't as hot and better conditions or whatever, whatever. But equally, you've got a fun trip away and content and all that sort of thing. So what was like, what influenced the decision basically to kind of go and do that?
Yeah. So with my training before a marathon, I like to do a half marathon, like usually 3 weeks out, to be honest with you. It's like the last hard long run effort before the taper begins. So this one was like 4 weeks out. My mate was over there and it was sort of like a kill two birds with one stone. Good to catch up with Kush and also like go and support a new race. They'd offered to like pay for my hotel, and I literally paid £200 for the flights out there and back. So it was like, why not go and experience a new part of the world for the weekend and fly? I literally flew home the Sunday after the race. So it was a good experience, like one of those holiday slash races that was, yeah, well worth it in hindsight. I'm glad I said yes, because I was a little bit hesitant at first, because like any travel, like in when you're training for a marathon, is going to disrupt your training a little bit. So I probably would prefer to do a half marathon, just like a local one, where I don't have to get on a plane. But yeah, decided to do this one, and it went all right. I was hoping to do a little bit better, to be honest. I went out with the front pack, so there was three of us doing the half marathon, and then there was two guys doing the 10K. So these two races started at the same time. Super small event. I think there was only 450 runners in the whole thing. And the three guys in the top three had all been invited out there, like I had, to do it. One was pretty talented guy from Italy, under 23. I think he's ran like eight flat for 3K. And then there was this Turkish guy who'd run like 64. So I knew going into the race, I was like, these guys are probably going to be one and two, and I should hopefully be the best of the rest, which is exactly how it played out. But went off the first 5K in 15:50, so 3:10s, which is around my PB pace for half marathon. And then, to be honest with you, the heat just absolutely zapped me. I looked at my heart rate after, I think 5K, it was like in the 170s, like low 170s. And then at 6K, I was like in the 180s already. And I could tell my breathing was like a lot more labored than normal. And I was just struggling in the warmer conditions. So I decided to back off, settled more into like a marathon effort. But to be honest, the pace of the first sort of 5 to 10K had definitely done damage already. Even marathon pace felt too much for that. Those conditions. It was only about 20 degrees, but like just not used to that heat and we're in the full sun. So yeah, sort of settled in to the race completely alone from about 10K, and just saw it into the finish and got a nice little £300 or €300, should I say, little bonus at the end to make up for it. So yeah, nice little weekend away. 71:20 I ran, so about 4 minutes off my PB.
I did love the interviews after the race with you. What was that TV, did you say?
Yeah, that was, live Albanian TV.
You do some weird shit, don't you, Ben?
I know, this was definitely one of the weirdest things I've done. Like, when we arrived there, they took us to see the mayor, like, and then about like 20 people from different news outlets were there, just like interviewing the panel of the race. And I'm literally sat there next to the mayor being like, I had no idea what was going on either, because it was all in Albanian. And then they just give a mic to me and say, oh yeah, why are you here? And I was like, my mate told me you're at the race. And now I'm here.
That's good.
But
that's very good.
No, I think they just saw me as a good opportunity to get a bit of publicity for a new race. So I don't mind doing that for a good cause.
Yeah, fair dues. Good stuff. And the Pumas, you wore the Fast Star too, didn't you? How were they?
Yeah, so I wore them for the 30 kilometres I did of the Seville Marathon. And they felt really good at like that 3:20 per K pace. So I thought I'd give them a go at half marathon pace. And yeah, I didn't have as good of a race, but they still feel really good. They're one of those shoes that really push you up onto your toes, like very, very aggressive carbon plate. But they are a little bit on the heavier side. So I was just going to give them a test, one last test before the race, the marathon, and as a potential race day shoe. But I think after that result, I think I'll be a bit more confident in the Sky Paris or in an Alpha Fly or something like that. So it was one last little race effort in them before I do like a full review type video. So
have you got a sponsor yet for your Copenhagen race vlog, Ben?
Sora are going to be sponsoring the
series. I was going to say, because that would that'd be influencing the shoe decision. So at least you've got a free
I can go with whatever ones I want.
Big up Saw.
Yeah, big up Saw. They're sponsoring the race and a couple of training videos before that. So yeah, always nice to have their support. I mean, I'd be wearing their kit even if they weren't sponsoring it. So
unless someone else will sponsor it.
Yeah, obviously, definitely.
Obviously.
Obviously. But yeah, really good weekend away. Enjoyed it.
Yeah, quality, mate. I love when you just do random things like this, like the Skopje half marathon as well. Little bits like that.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's nice to do a little bit of traveling and with the running side of things as well. Like, I'm not on a schedule where I have strict 9 to 5. So if I can go to somewhere new for the weekend, do a race, make a bit of content, and the trip funded itself really. So it's a no brainer.
Why the
Did you manage to find any Albanian videographers? I saw you shout out for some support on that.
Yeah, no, I didn't find anyone, but there was a couple of people who I think were part of like the social media for the race. They sent me some videos, so I did get some race content, which is very generous.
If you're listening, people, right, we know that when we talk about brands and stuff, you like to share it with the brands, because we once had a negative experience where that happened. So if anyone's got a bit of spare time on the hands, go to, what are we on about, 37, 38 minutes, whatever the timestamp is now, send the link to this podcast to the race organizers and just say, oh, they said some really good things about your race at whatever 36 minutes. And then hopefully our Albanian audience will go through the roof, and we'll all be invited out next year to take over $2,000 each.
Sounds good to me.
Quality. I don't think there's much need for me to talk through my training, but I'll just give gloss over, shall I? And then we'll just go on to some other stuff.
Yeah, mate, sounds good.
Go
essentially,
for it.
All I can do is go on the bike at the moment, or I can do like seated rowing machine if I wanted to, or I can do the ski erg. So when I've had a bit of problems with my wound a couple of days, or it's been extra sore, I've just done the ski erg instead. So I'm literally just using my arms rather than my legs. And basically, my weekly structure is just easy rides every day with the occasional double, just kind of depending on how I feel. The maximum volume so far of them has been up to about an hour. And then twice a week, I'm doing a quote-unquote session, one of them being like more tempo threshold. So like I'm up to 2 by 15 minutes. I've started off doing 5 minute reps, 10 minute reps, kind of built up a little bit. And then I'm doing a more VO2 max type stimulus, basically just like harder, shorter efforts. So that's been a variety of like different 30 second reps with 15 to 20 seconds recovery, and just different stuff like that, basically trying to get my heart rate higher. And every week I'm just trying to gradually increase the overall volume of the week by a little bit. So it might be throwing in an extra double or staying on and rounding my cool down up to 80 minutes rather than 70 minutes or whatever it is. So yeah, I'm under no illusion that I'm not going to like come off the bike and be like, wow, as soon as I've got my shoes on, I'm like completely ready to go again. I'm going to be really fit. Like it's going to take a while to build up. But my main aim really is just one, like stay motivated and manage weight gain, in the sense that I'm not really putting on any weight or anything, but it's good just to keep some exercise in just generally for your physical and mental health. And then making sure that I'm not exhausting myself to the point where I'm not motivated to do anything else, or like I don't feel like I've got the energy to make sure I do my boring rehab exercises or my weights or my band work and stuff like that. Because I could hammer myself on the bike and then just not do all the little things. So I'm balancing kind of bit of recovery, bit of trying to maintain or build some fitness, and a bit of just general like exercise is good for you mentally and physically type thing at the moment. With the kind of long-term goal in my head being just feel comfortable enough on the bike and cross training and understand how to cross train, so that even when I get back running, imagine I start running in September, that's going to be when I'm doing like 2 miles a week, or I'm doing like, you know, run walk. I'm going to start off by doing like one run walk in a week. By the time I get back up to running 80 miles a week again and doing proper training, I don't know how long that's going to take. It could take 6 months, 9 months. I don't know how long it's going to take to get back up to that level. So I have to treat cross training as if it's going to be a permanent fixture of my training going forward. Like it is going to represent a lot of my training, even when I get back running. So I'm mainly just trying to feel comfortable, understand what I'm doing, all that sort of stuff. So even when I get back running, I can still get on the bike a couple times a week or however long I need to be on it. But yeah, that's me. I won't bore you with all the did this, did that, did this heart rate, because it's just as simple as you'd imagine, to be honest.
How's your arse adapting to all that time in the seat, in the saddle?
Honestly, fine, to be fair. Fine. I think the seat that I have is quite comfortable, actually.
Have you got any bib shorts yet?
Yeah, I've got some bib shorts, which is good. But the amount of cycle, to be fair, I've got to get them in the wash, so I probably only wear them for half the rides only a week. But yeah, compared to like when I've done quite a bit of outdoor cycling in the past, and like I'd go out on the bike and I'd come back and my ass would be absolutely in bits. So I think the seat I must just be quite padded. So yeah,
lovely.
That's my cross.
No sore bum for Callum.
When
that's what we want to know.
When are we going to see Callum like wearing full Rafa or like Universal Colour kit on Instagram with a nice new road bike that you've purchased? When are we going to get that post?
When I'm allowed to go outside.
Well, I'm excited for that.
When I'm allowed to go outside, there is a chance that I could heavily invest in a bike. To be fair, loads of athletes have been messaging me saying, like, you know, like you're actually going to start to like cycling as soon as you can go outside. And I totally do agree with that. But it's so far away from me that I don't want to imagine it. Do you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I would love to go down the cycling rabbit hole right now and be like, get a bike, get the kit, do whatever. Ask Hoka if I can get me this. And, like, meet up with my mates and just go out for, like, a four-hour ride, have a coffee and a bagel or whatever they have. I'd do that. I would do that every day. I'd do that every day, rain or shine, without hesitation. But unfortunately, I've got a massive boot on my foot, and if I fall off and re-tear my Achilles, then I don't think the government-supported athlete scheme are going to say to me, "Oh, you accidentally messed it up by being a complete idiot. I will pay for your surgery again." So yeah, unfortunately, I can't. I'm not letting myself get in the mindset of getting to that point. Instead, I'm just thinking like, okay, my life is indoors temporarily.
Yeah, fair dues.
So just make the most of it.
What about an elliptico? Get yourself some elbow pads, some knee pads and a helmet and get out on one of them, like Elliot Giles.
Again, 100% would do it. And same with the elliptical. the same with the elliptical machine. Once I can go on the elliptical, I will. But at the moment, I can't because the position of my foot when you were, again, you know how I said the pushing up and pulling up motion?
Yeah.
If you imagine on an elliptical or an elliptigo when you strap your feet in, it's that, it's trying to mimic the motion of running where you're going heel to toe. And right now I can't go heel to toe. I can just go toe to toe, which is, yeah, not ideal. But yeah, I'm finding ways around it. I wouldn't say I'm enjoying it, but it is quite nice to just set yourself little challenges or little things and just recognize like that a small victory is like quite good. It's a bit like starting a new sport or a new hobby or whatever. It's like, well, actually, it's quite nice being quite shit and also not very used to doing something, because if I cycle for 70 minutes and that's the longest I've done so far, I can be like, oh, fair enough, like 70 minutes, pat myself on the back. In running, because we've been running for so long at a good level, how often is it in your training that you can say you did something that you've not done before? It's very rare. It's like you have to either have like an amazing session where you run really quick, or you have to wait for a race and hope you get a PB. There's not many kind of small wins you can take in your daily training. It's just like, oh, did another 8 mile run, did another, no, 3 mile run or whatever. So it is actually quite nice to every day pretty much have that something new I can do. Even if I've got an hour ride, sometimes I'm like, I'm going to see how long I can take it before I look at the clock. And like, it might be like 35 minutes in. I'm like, oh, that was longer than last time I looked at 22 minutes or whatever. So just little kind of challenges like that are good.
Nice. Sounds good, mate.
I'm conscious that we've only got, what, 10, 15 minutes left. So some of the other topics we wanted to talk about, Ben, were what, London Marathon?
Yeah, I thought with London Marathon coming up this week, the biggest race in the British calendar, we should probably have a little look at some of the British hopefuls that are taking place. I think mainly on the men's side, it's looking quite exciting. We've got, there's four in it for me anyway, to take the British number one spot. We've got Mohamed, we've got Callum Hawkins,
no,
we've got Emil Kores and Mark Scott. Maybe I'm leaving someone out there, but I think those are the four top dogs. So I thought it'd be quite interesting to hear in 1, 2, 3, what would you guys would put those in?
We have to choose our three of those four.
Yeah, which, like, who's coming first, second, third out of the Brits?
Callum Hawkins only just started running again, hasn't he?
Yeah, like, that's what I'm confused about that.
He did podium the other day in 15 minutes. So unless he's doing a really quick marathon and that was his marathon pace, and he was like obliged to do it from New Balance or something, or whoever he's with, then
I think he has actually been training quite well again, apparently.
I know he's been training well, but that race just confused me as to why he would do it. He ran 15.04 or something like that.
That must have been 12. A pacing job.
15, I've got 12. It up now. I don't know if it was though, because he finished and he ran 15.12. He came 55th.
There's no chance that was a race effort, surely. Someone of his caliber. He's ran 2:08 for the marathon.
It was bad conditions, wasn't it? He did a really good session the other day or something. I'm sure I saw something on his Instagram. I'm just going to look on his Instagram now. It was a cool...
He did another race recently as well. Not that recently. The 10 miler down the North Great North Run, is it?
Great South. 47:43. Came fourth.
Yeah, that's pretty decent.
Yeah, that is good. That is good. I mean, hopefully he runs really well. I remember watching Callum Hawkins and like I loved him, like, and he's been away for so long. And you've got to remember, the guy's so talented. He ran, what, 60:01 for the half? Like,
yeah.
He's in the same category of talent as Emil in his PBs. But when you've been injured for that long and you've not shown, in terms of if you were asking me to put my actual money on a bet and I had to inform myself based on like the previous data, I'd be like, well, yeah, Great South is good, but that was ages ago, Great South. And like... Mm-hmm. People, for example, I think Jacob Allen beat him, and you wouldn't say Jacob Allen's going to beat Emil over a marathon. Do you know what I mean?
No.
So even though Jacob's an amazing runner, he's just not quite the marathon runner yet that I'm sure he eventually will be. But yeah, same with Mark Scott, though. Mark Scott said in an interview that it would be a bad day if he doesn't. It would take a bad day for him to not run the 2:08 time.
Yeah, that was
very, really confident.
Very bold.
But then you look at his results and you think, well, yeah, he ran 63 something. Like, it was completely solo, just with a bike. So like, is that really promising effort? Like, how much value do we put on that? I don't really know. Mohamed, he's the quote unquote informed person, because he ran 2:08 at Seville, but hasn't raced since. So then you're like, oh, you know, London's a very different course to Seville. How does that go? And then you've got Emil, who the only issue I potentially see with Emil is I think he can run 205, 206 or whatever. But the faster you go out, the more chance you have of dying. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to think to yourself, Phil's already selected for the Olympics. There's two more spots if they both get the time, I think. But people have to get the time. So if you're Emil, do you just go, right, I'm just going to be the first Brit under 208.10 or whatever they need and just go for that? Or do you go, actually, no, my potential is to run 205, 206 or whatever and seriously go for it, but then run the risk of potentially blowing up or something happening, and that would cost you your Olympics? Because as good as Emil is, he has to finish under the time or that's him done.
But but Emil, what I don't understand, right, is in terms of the window, I can't remember when it opened, the qualification window, but Emil ran 208.07, so under the Olympic qualifying time.
Also, Emil does have the time.
And he ran 60.01, so exact same PB as Hawkins, actually, at Napoli Hall.
Sorry.
Not that long ago.
In my head, Emil like was a second outside the time, so I've got the wrong way around. So Emil is a second under the time.
Yeah, so I think they just haven't announced him as going to the Olympics yet. The only one they've done that with is Phil.
They can't announce him though. That's what they can only announce Phil because he's quicker than Emil on paper. So Emil has to beat, if Mark Scott or Mohamed or Callum Hawkins or any of the Brits, if they beat Emil and run quicker than the Olympic standard, then they will be picked over Emil, you would imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Which is crazy to think about because we view Emil as like a serious runner.
World contender, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it will all go to plan and like he'll run really fast and whatever, but it's an interesting one to think in an Olympic year that's only every 4 years, do you just try and do your job, beat out the other Brits and get yourself on the plane and then really target the Olympic marathon in the summer? Or do you think this could be a major breakthrough? Do you just try and smash out 205 first Brit, like put yourself on the map? Who knows?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I guess the biggest unknown with Emil is the fact that he's so elusive, like on the internet. Like he ran 1 second outside of 60 minutes. You would think, I think from like the Sweat Elite video on him, like sub 60 was obviously the aim going into Napoli half. But you don't really know anything about how his training's been going apart from that video, him running 60.01 at Napoli. But that was back in, was that February that he did that?
It was fairly recently. I remember watching it.
Yeah.
Might have been a bit sooner than that. But
yeah, like it's so unknown. Whereas you've seen video of Mark Scott at that run-through event. Like, so it's an interesting one.
What it's also, I've just looked now, Callum Hawkins' PB is 208.14. So if he thinks that he's in, you know, the best shape he's been in, which I'm not saying he does, but let's say he's confident and stuff, then he's run the time that he needs before, pretty much. So, like, that's obviously...
It's a four or five second PB.
It's not going into the unknown compared to, say, Mark Scott, who, if you convert his 5K and his 10K, should easily be able to run 208. But that's not how the marathon works, unfortunately. Mm. You know, it's a bit more difficult than that. So, yeah.
Okay, then. To wrap things up, I'll give you my 1, 2, 3. And be interested to hear yours. And then next week we can see who was the closest. So I've gone Emil Kress, number one, undoubtedly the standout.
Yeah.
Then I've gone for Mohamed, second. And controversially, I've left Mark Scott out of it. I think Callum Hawkins takes third out of them. I think just because Mark's doing his first marathon, I think the more experienced Callum will do better if he's in good shape. So I've gone Emil Kress, Mohamed, and then Callum Hawkins.
Interesting. I would definitely say your top two is more than likely going to happen unless something bizarre goes on. But with you got Paolo Sorafel on there as well,
and Wayne Gebrselassie, 209.
Mm. Yeah. So Sorafel, he ran. I just got his power 10 up, so I got it right. 61.20.
Wow, yeah, it's decent.
61.20 in Ghent half marathon, which was March, and then in January at Valencia 10K, he ran 28.23. So,
Your underdog.
He's my underdog debut, just to absolutely boss it and come home third Brit.
Nice. So you're going same 1-2, and then you're going to go with...
Yeah, I think so. It would take something big for Emil to not... Because he'll probably go... he'll probably hang with the front pack, you'd think, for as long as possible, right? He's used to training with them boys.
Yeah, I'd expect so. But like Callum said, it depends how he races it. If he's there just to be the first Brit, then I reckon he'll do that at a bit more of a comfortable pace for him.
But do you think that's in Emil Caress's nature to just go
I
out
don't
like comfy?
think so, no. I think
Yeah.
he's going there to go for British record type thing, not just run 208, which is probably well within his capabilities, you know. But who knows? I mean, it's an Olympic Games at stake as well, so maybe he will go on the more cautious side of things because he doesn't want to screw that up.
I'm just looking. Wayne Gebrselassie is maybe he has a run. I'm just trying to see it. I can't see that he's run in 2024. He's not raced, so take from that what you will. I'm not too sure. Not that I can see. My prediction. Ooh, do I go outside the box or do I just play it down the line? I think Emil Keres, British record.
Oh.
If the weather's good, I reckon. Why else do it? You know, you could just hope that the other guys don't run the time and just whatever. I reckon if you're gonna go for it properly. Sod it. Why not? His training's crazy anyway. So does he think that he can run really hard and then probably recover in time? Yeah. Will his management and stuff probably think great chance to break through, build up his profile, you know, beat Mo Farah's record. Way a better place to do it than London. So I'm gonna say Emil Keres, British record. Second place, what do I think? I'm just looking along the list now. Second place, go on, then I will, you know what I'll do second place? I'm gonna say Mark Scott, second Brit. And I think he might run the majority of it with Mohammed and then know that that's the man he needs to beat and then just do him near the end, I reckon. So I'm going to say Mark Scott second. And then third, I will go for Mohammed because I think if you've run 208 earlier in the year, then it's going to help you in your mind as you're going through it and think that you can hang on. But I would love Callum Hawkins to beat them all because what I'd love that. That'd be a great comeback. So, yeah,
Be a
and
hell of a
also,
story, wouldn't it?
yeah, I will also say he'll be annoyed that I've not listed him as first Brit, but shout out to Norman Shreve, who will be on the elite list, and Dom Jones as well, two CNC guys. They should hopefully run 215, 216, something like that. So if they're first Brit, even better.
Good stuff.
Nice.
Women's
I've written it
side,
down.
quickly.
Yeah, women's side is a little less
Women's is
deep.
dead.
It's
No one.
it's a two horse race really on British side between Becky Briggs and Alice Wright. Both have run 2:29. I think there's 4 seconds between them, so it's literally going to be a punch up between them, I reckon. So you can come out on top as best Brit.
Yeah, Beck. Well, I'm creating some content with Becky at the moment around it, and she's just trying to just do. Obviously, she still wants to run a good time, but she's just doing the marathon, if you know what I mean. Like she said in one of the interviews we did with her, like this isn't the fastest marathon she's ever going to run. She doesn't know if she can get a PB or whatever. She's going to be go off around PB pace, but she did also say she's not planning on looking at a watch. She's going to run to feel. So she might go off like the clappers. She might, you know, not do as well as whatever. So I don't know what Alice Wright's plan is, but yeah, that's kind of a situation from Becky's side. But if she can become first Brit, that would be awesome.
Weren't Becky and Anya, they were training out in South Africa, Cape Town, together, weren't they? So I don't know. Are they as fit as each other? Is one of them slightly more fit than the other? So you say two horse race, but
No
if
comment.
Becky's, yeah.
No comment. They were in South Africa at the same time, I believe.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's just leave it at that.
Anya's run 2:34, so she's about 5 minutes off them in terms of PB. But you never know. She's like progressing, so she might come out and storm it. You never know.
Yeah,
And there's.
unfortunately for these women that we've mentioning, British marathon running is so much stronger than men's British marathon running. So there's what? How many women? Eight women that are not that we've. There's eight women ahead of them, even if they both run their PBs or something. We've got what, five women that have the Olympic time or something ridiculous. Callie Thackeray's obviously selected. And Charlotte Purdue, is she selected?
I think so, yeah.
I think
Yeah,
there's two
Charlotte's
of
on
them
the
that are
plane.
selected, aren't they? Yeah. And then obviously you've got names like Sam Harrison, Rose Harvey, Clara Evans. I don't know who else.
Piasecki.
So yeah, again, that it's a shame, but that's what marathon running's like, isn't it? Because we don't have a British Olympic trials, then these men and women are going to pick what works best for them during the window, what marathon they want to do, when it builds up to training, and they're never all going to just have a big scrap and race each other, which would be great to see. But, you know, until there's the money in the sport to fund that, what would you rather do? Go and collect some money and a better opportunity in warmer weather or flatter course somewhere else? Of course you would. So, yeah, it's a shame we won't see them all race each other. But good luck to Becky and Alice Wright. Alice Wright's Hoker as well, based in America. So good luck to her.
There's another Hoker athlete in there as well. McLennan. Mary.
Yeah. She's in there as well.
Her debut. She's run 71 for the half. So her half is actually quicker than
Becky's.
Quicker than Becky's?
Is she British?
She runs 72.
It says, where's the start list? It says GB. Yeah, it says GBR debut.
There we go. Must have.
That might be interesting.
Lucy Reed, but I believe I've heard Lucy Reed may no longer be doing it.
Okay.
If that's wrong, or if you're a listener, apologies if I've given fake news, but that's just what I was told when I was discussing with someone else the elite women's field.
Sweet. Nice one. There we go. That's our little London Marathon preview for you then. Look forward to watching it.
Yeah, should be a good one. When is it? A week? No, a week and a half from now. So will we... Hang on, are we going to record again before that? No, we're not. We'll record just after the London Marathon, won't we?
Yeah. Well, if we recorded again on a Tuesday, then Boston would have had London Marathon, and then Boston Marathon's Monday after London.
And of course, Tom's 5K race, which we need to recap. This is important.
The Bristol Track Club 5K, don't you?
Did you know that one of your race recaps, I think you did like a 5K like time trial. That's one of the most listened to podcasts that we recorded. I think number three, yeah. So there'll be a lot of people tuning in, Tom. So you don't feel the Run It Freeways pressure. But best of luck to you.
How are we doing on the listeners? I know that the Instagram's getting a lot of traction because people know that we're back. But what are we saying on the listeners front, Ben? Anything good cracking on over there?
There's nothing to shout about. Let's just put it that way. We're about half capacity of what we used to be at. So got a little bit of work to do, but hopefully now we get some consistency.
Is this our first proper episode since we've been back?
Yeah, we've done 3,500 listeners on the first one back, and then whatever this one does.
Oh, but that's still pretty decent, isn't it? 3,500.
Yeah, it's not bad. We average, I think, like 7.2 across all the other podcasts.
Yeah, that's when we were popping off, though, weren't we?
Yeah, exactly.
I know it's been an hour, boys. Are we just parking the listener's question, or should we just blast one quick listener's question or something like that?
I think we've got to do one. Yeah, let's blast one.
Did one of you have a good one, or shall I read one off the Instagram?
I reckon you go for it, mate. The ones I got from the Spotify weren't that great, let's put it that way, but we'll see.
Right. I'll do a quick one that hopefully won't require much kind of debate or anything like that.
A nice boring one to end the podcast.
Yeah, something nice and simple. Hold on, here we go. It's coming up any minute now. Just wait on. Great podcasting. This is
I've just had a proper look at the artwork that you've chucked in the WhatsApp group, Callum. I had a quick glance at it before, but I didn't see the details. But this is top quality stuff.
You know, boys, we've actually accidentally answered like so many of these questions. So many about Emile Carrère's London Marathon. When's Callum back in injury? What shoes are good? We've talked about all this stuff. We're absolutely unreal.
There you go then.
This is a good one. Have you all followed the hardest geezer? He's just run the length of Africa.
That is a good one.
Is he a BBC Sports Personality of the Year contender? Boys, have you been following Russ? What's your thoughts been on him?
Of course, yeah. I've been loving it. I've watched it from pretty much the start. He does a couple of episodes on YouTube a week, I think. I've been watching those on the treadmill pretty religiously over the last 360 odd days that he's been doing it. So yeah, I'm happy that he's managed to tick it off. Incredible. Definitely a contender, I reckon. Not many people have... no one has done what he's done.
He's not a contender. It's one of the sickest things ever, and he's one of the coolest blokes like on the internet. And what he's had to go through, absolutely incredible. But this sports personality stuff of the...
It has to be for a proper athlete.
Complete bollocks. It has to be for actual sport. It's not a sport. It's a made-up ultra running event, which is still crazy out of this world. But it is like giving an award to someone for doing, like, I don't know, saying, oh, I'm going to do this amount of press-ups. Awesome.
Yeah, that's how I feel. It's like, yeah, exactly.
I agree,
like a wacky world record.
Yeah, and I think it would actually do it down how mental it is to give him Sports Personality of the Year, because then you'd be like, oh, it's the equivalent achievement of winning Wimbledon or winning.
Yeah, you don't want to put him in the same category as like Mo Farah or Sir Chris Hoy or something like that.
Yeah, because all those sports are fully funded. Like they're fully funded. They have governing bodies. They have people to rely on them. They have all this stuff. This guy, if you go back and watch the first videos, he's just got a van, shipped it to the bottom of South Africa because he can't start at the top because they won't let him, and just muddled together some geezers off the internet and gone, right, crack on, you film it. I'm going to run every day. Let's just see where we get to. Do you know what I mean?
I love it. It's such a good story. I'm so glad he's managed to do it. And he's obviously raising a hell of a lot of money for charity. So, yeah. If you haven't followed it, go donate, go watch the YouTube, go, yeah. He's got a million followers on Instagram now, so I'm sure you've heard of him.
Another unpopular opinion from me, I'm going to say, if you've not seen anything and you don't know what we're talking about, don't actually watch the videos, because they're also making a documentary, a feature-length thing.
Oh,
that they've been saving the footage for, and that's why like he's not put anything in about the kidnap situation and all that. So I reckon...
You're saving that for the blockbuster.
If you can bear it, I reckon hold off and then watch like the hour and a half or whatever they're going to create for the very first time, because I think that'll be so sick to not know what happened. Well, obviously, you know he makes it in the end, but... Yeah.
I just wonder what he's going to do now. Like, are we going to see Hardest Geezer become like a household name where he's doing like talk shows?
Yeah,
and 100% like, shit like that. Like,
have I
got news for you and all that stuff?
Yeah, Jonathan Ross.
It'll be
Jonathan Ross, Question of Sport, maybe.
8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown. Do they still do that? Did you ever watch that?
Yeah, that was good. That was a good show.
I don't know.
Would I Lie to You? That would be good.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it'd be great value on those sorts of programs as well, wouldn't it?
Well, what do you think he does from a career point of view? Like, do you just become an influencer? Is that what you do? Or do you like write a book, or like, what do you do? Because obviously he's got the capacity now where he could just live off like doing some brand deals and stuff, because he's got a million followers. But like, he seems like the kind of guy that wants way more impact than just settling to just,
you know, I reckon he's got another like mission that he's planning to do, something just as extreme as this one. I don't reckon this will be the last like crazy mission that he does, like Project Africa.
He said that, didn't he, that he's got something else planned, but how do you really top it? Like, it's gonna have to be something so nuts. Like, there has to be,
maybe it'll be more like like he will commit to doing a certain distance or like everyday type thing, because obviously he ran the length of Africa, but he took as long as he needed. I wonder if he'll do something that's a bit more like to break a record type thing.
I wouldn't be surprised if he never did any sort of running challenge like this ever again.
Really?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if this just is
go
just
down
like,
the TV route.
Just do some other stuff. Like, he used to just do some like wacky challenges and whatnot back in the day, I think. Yeah. Because that's got to, I'm not being funny, it's got to do something to your body, like long term.
Oh yeah, he says he's broken, didn't he? I wonder what the full extent of like how many stress fractures he's got, how many weeks is he going to take to rebuild his body, if it will ever go back. So yeah, it'd be interesting to follow his next steps in his career, I guess. But yeah, full credit to the geezer.
Yeah, what a bloke.
Well, what a good way to end the pod, boys. Been a pleasure as always. This is going up what, Saturday 6 a.m. is it? Yeah,
Saturday 6 a.m. every other week. We're back for another one with the old London Marathon and Tom's 5k
and Boston
recap
Marathon.
And Boston, yeah, I've never heard of that one. but yeah, speak to you soon, boys.
Right, boys, speak to you soon. Have a good rest of your day.
Ciao, ciao.
Lovely. Bye bye.